with. I'm going to have you write during this segment tonight. So we have a box of pens up here. I also have some scratch paper. So if anyone needs one, you're not going to interrupt me. I'll kind of move it to the side a little bit. So there's paper and pens right there. So everyone have a good Christmas? Well, it was kind of maybe risky for us to start this really long men's group during Christmas and New Year's right in the middle. So we were a little worried, but looking tonight and you guys showing up again. So yeah, thank you guys for continuing to come. I definitely thought it would be a lot smaller group tonight. But everyone's New Year's resolutioning at the gym, but I didn't know how that worked out at church. So glad to see you guys here. I just came back. My wife and I, and actually my entire family, went to Liberty University again in Virginia, and we did a New Year's with them for Winterfest. If you hadn't heard of Winterfest at Liberty University, it's just a giant, all the students are gone, so they use their convocation center where I spoke last time, 15,000 seats in there, and it's a whole weekend of bands, and they had David Crowder, Skillet. Anybody ever see Skillet play live? Holy cow, man, I thought I was going to blow up. I was like right next to the stage, and it had this giant explosion. I couldn't even see how big it was because I just seen light and felt heat. So they had that going on. Anybody into Christian rap music? I never was into Christian rap music until this guy's so talented, Andy Mineo. And then they had Holland played. Who else, Hunter? David Crowder, Skillet, Switchfoot played. Yeah, they had awesome bands. And then they had the comedian John Chris. That guy's really, really funny. And some Christian magician. I don't know how you do magic without the dark magic. But he was doing all kind of crazy stuff. And so it was pretty cool. And then me and my wife spoke. So I spoke Saturday night. And I felt like the party pooper because everybody's there to have a good time. And I get up and tell my testimony. And then the next night, my wife spoke. But it was really, really awesome. We had a really blessed time being there. And probably going to continue to go back and do things with Liberty. Great university. So tonight, we're talking about fight plans. It's not going to be like we normally do. I'm not going to tell stories as much and teach a class. We're actually going to learn how to take all the stuff we've been learning so far and all the stuff we're going to continue to learn and put it into action. And, a lot of times when you talk about men, talk about doing a class like this or learning a practice like this, it doesn't seem to excite guys because we're lazy, to be honest, and we could be very unintentional about getting things done. And that's the same reason that we need to do this, right? Because we are by nature lazy when it comes to being intentional about things, particularly about things like we're discussing in this whole Fight Club series. And a class like this is exactly what we need as men to take all these things that we're learning and put it into action in our daily life, to be intentional about it. We talk about in the military the 7 P's. Anybody's heard of 7 P's before? Right, I've seen the Marines raising their hand. Right, I'll say it, and forgive me because we're here in a church, but it's not too bad. Right? Prior proper planning prevents piss poor performance. Right, so if you can't plan ahead and you don't make prior proper planning in advance, your performance is going to be terrible. And that's the same in combat as a Marine, as whatever you do in the military. It's the same in life. Right, if you can't think about things in advance and make a good plan, you're probably gonna mess it up. You're probably gonna fall on your face. And so in the military, we do that well. I would never go out, leave on a patrol from a forward operating base and decide, kind of ad-lib when we run into Taliban how we're going to react. And we planned and rehearsed and we thought about our strengths. We thought about our weaknesses. We know the enemy's strengths and weaknesses. We made a good plan to be able to win and survive and accomplish our mission. I could think of doing MMA fights. Once I started getting kind of higher level, beyond amateur fights, and when I started fighting at a really high level, I had to really study my opponent and know what his strengths were, know what his weaknesses were. And I needed to put my pride aside and say, okay, here's where I'm strong, but also here's where I'm weak. Because if I couldn't put my pride aside and admit where I was weak, then I couldn't really develop a good strategy. When I fought in my second to last fight that I fought in Legacy, I was fighting a guy named Joseph Sandoval. He's a UFC fighter, really good kickboxer, really good striker. And my strength's jiu-jitsu. And, I remember sitting down with my coach and saying, hey, you do not want to stand up and strike with this guy. he's gonna knock you out. Like, that's my coach is telling me that because they care about me. They know where I'm strong and where I'm weak. And I had to admit that. I could have let my ego get the best of me and went out there and tried to prove something. But I had to admit that weakness and come up with a strategy to be able to beat him. And I did. I choked him out in 58 seconds, by the way. So the same goes for life. Like, if we move forward in life and try to accomplish some of these things that we're talking about, and we don't have a good plan, if we can't put our pride aside and admit we're weak, we're never going to be able to develop what we need to accomplish the goals that we're setting in front of us. And that's what this fight plan thing's about. If we go to the first slide, there is a proverb. Proverb 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty." Right, so we shouldn't make spontaneous decisions all the time. We should be able to, but that those spontaneous decisions should be based off of strong life experience, not out of lack of preparation. Right, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. What is fight plans? This is going to be a really accurate visualization. I had trouble saying visualization of your plan to overcome the struggles that we have. So we're going to start off talking about the struggles that we have. There's different ways you could use fight plans, and I'm going to bring John up here at the end and talk about some other ways. But ultimately, we're looking at all these topics we talked about: discipline, character, brotherhood. We got purity coming in 2 weeks. All these things that we're talking about, these struggles that we have, being able to have a plan to overcome these struggles. Right? It's tangible and it's achievable, meaning this is not something so big that we can't actually achieve it. A lot of times you have people that'll take life coaches, for example. They'll take you and say, "We're going to develop a life plan." And man, it looks, by the time you walk away, you're like, "I'm going to conquer the world. This thing looks awesome. It's got like charts and graphs and all kind of things." And then you put it away somewhere and never actually apply it in your life because it's so big, you can't ever actually put it into action in your life. So we want this to be kind of bite-sized, something that's tangible and something that we could actually achieve, right? And it's going to be a tool to keep you on track. It's also going to be lifelong. So tonight we're actually going to do one of these fight plans. We're going to get together and we're going to do one of these. What I like to do is have at least four going at one time. What we teach at our program at Mighty Oaks for the veterans that come through, by the end of the week, we like them to have at least four or five. And so whatever you can manage, everyone's going to be different. But if you have four or five of these fight plans going on in your life at a time, then it's something we feel is manageable and you could actually achieve it and not fail. And the way we like to do it is, if you have four or five of these, when you accomplish one, when you feel like, okay, I got that struggle tackled, then you could add another one. And then eventually those original four will be kind of a thing in the past, but you have four more happening. So you're always moving forward. You're always sharpening your life and your improvement to be the man that God called you to be. Here's a quote from a famous theologian. Are the vices in your life worth trading for the things that matter most? Right? Are the hardships of your life or your struggles, the things that you're attached to, the sins you feel like you just don't want to let go, are those things so important that you would trade them for the most important things in your life? And it's easy to say no, right? No, I would never trade, you know, drinking for my children. I would never trade my wife for a relationship with another woman. But we do all the time. We do make those decisions that are selfish and things that we could let go, but our pride or selfishness or whatever desire of our flesh won't let those things go. And so we trade the most important things in our life. Here's where you're gonna need your pens. I want you to make somewhere in your book or wherever you have a blank space, make two columns. One column is gonna say the most important things in your life. And the other will say the vices in your life. And I want you to take just 2 minutes and write down the five things that first come to your mind and the most important things in your life. Your relationship with your wife. Your role as a dad. Your relationship with God. Whatever those most important things that are to you, I want you to write those down. And then in the other column, write down the five vices that you have in your life, the ones that probably have the most control over you. Some of you maybe need to lock your notes in a safe after this so your wife don't find it. But those five vices in your life that are holding you back. If it's something you don't even want to put on paper because it's so bad, put like 5 X's right there, or 3 X, triple X, right? If anybody didn't have paper, there's paper up here too. Just look up when you're done. That way I know I can move on. All right, so I know not everyone's math genius in here, but we, for some reason, and probably because we have a lot of Marines come to our program, we have trouble with this, communicating this. You have 10 things there, right? 5 + 5 = 10. You can only keep 5 of them. It should be pretty simple to do on paper, right? If you can only keep 5 of those things, you can only hang on to 5 of those, then what 5 would it be? Draw a line through the 5 that you would have to get rid of if you can only keep 5 of those things. Everyone's paper should look something like this, right? Because I'd be really brokenhearted to know that someone would have scratched out family over women and lust, or took out your career over alcohol or drunkenness, right? You do this on paper and it seems so simple, right? It should be so easy to achieve in our life, but the truth is that if your life reflected this paper, some of you would have your health scratched out and alcohol and drunkenness left in the paper. Some of you would have women or lust or pornography left and your wife scratched out. Some of you would have laziness left in your faith with a big red line through it. If your life that you're living out could reflect on that paper. It's easy to do it when you're writing it down. It makes such logical sense, you know, but how do you really achieve it? If you just go through life and expecting it to just kind of shake out, well, then that's where most people end up failing. But if you could actually put a plan in place, a tangible, bite-sized plan, something that's actually you could achieve, something that someone, your brothers are going to hold you accountable to, you can end up in the right spot. You can end up with a list that would look like that. Now, most people, when they try to start fixing their life and make changes in their life, usually it comes from a point of real motivation. We see this a lot at our program at Mighty Oaks. Veterans come to our program and their life is completely upside down. They're a complete mess. Their marriage is on the brink of divorce. Their kids hate them. All this stuff is going on. They're on 20 pills a day for PTSD. They come with us for a week. They have a radical encounter with Christ, and they're like, I'm turning it around. 180 degrees, I'm going to fix my life. And if you ask them what their goal is going to be, it's going to be, I'm going to be the man that God created me to be. I'm going to be a better man. And that seems, it seems so desirable and so tangible at the time. But when you go back in Saturday morning, you left that program, and Saturday morning you get home and your wife, you know, starts complaining because she didn't go to that same program as you and she's not on the same high as you are. She starts complaining because you didn't take out the trash or something. And 10 seconds later, you're sticking your fist through a wall, the whole thing went sideways, right? Because you can't just put on paper that you want to be a better man. It doesn't work that way. You got to be able to take it down to bite-sized, actually actionable steps. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the 5 biggest things in our life and then start breaking those down. Each one of those biggest things, those biggest vices, are going to have lots and lots of subcategories. For example, if we go to anger, if anger is one of the things that are my vices that I really struggle with, I'm angry, we got to dig down deeper. Why am I angry? Well, I'm frustrated, right? Why are you frustrated? Because I'm overwhelmed all the time. Why are you overwhelmed? Because I don't have any margin in my life, because I try to fit 25 hours in a 24-hour day, because every time somebody asks me to do something, I say yes, right? The problem isn't because you're angry. The problem is you're not managing your time. The problem is you're not managing your schedule. The problem is you have no discipline in your life. So we don't need to deal with anger. We need to go four levels down and deal with margin in our life. And that would be a very clear example, honestly, for me. This is something for me that I need to work on. This is definitely a clear example of something I continue to deal with and struggle with, right? So do I get mad? Yeah. Why do I get mad? Oh, because I'm frustrated. Why am I frustrated? Because I'm constantly overwhelmed. And I'm overwhelmed because I don't manage my time well. My solution, I'm in a good position. I got two people to help me manage my time now. I got my wife and I just hired an executive assistant for me to help me manage my time, because it's a big problem for me, right? Well, the truth is we all have some things that we need to work on. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and there was no truth was in us. Here's what the fight plan actually looks like. I should have looked before I got up here, but you have a page in your books. If anybody knows it offhand, please tell me. Yell it out. Say it again. 86. 86 is the fight plans. And so we'll go through what one looks like. And I scratched out in this example up here kind of what the first thing that people tend to do when they're doing this, kind of common mistake, is they go big, right? What are some things you want to fight for? Column one, I want to be a better husband. Way too big, right? If you want to be a better husband, there's no depth to that. You're going to fall on your face because you're not making actual tangible changes. So there's 100 things, maybe 1,000 things I could put under how to be a better husband. Why don't I just pick one? And so one I could pick is, you know, I need to speak to my wife with respect. This is one of the first fight plans, by the way, that I ever did. Speak to my wife with respect. And one of the things that made me realize that was when I would get irritated, I would speak to my wife really harsh. But I noticed when I was in professional environments with other professionals and people that I respected, I could be irritated with them. I could be looking at them and thinking, I just want to punch you in the face. Like right now, I wonder if I could knock you out with just like punch you. And I'd be thinking like these awful thoughts to this person, but I would smile and treat them with respect because I respected them as a professional. And I'm like, why could I think that way towards somebody I don't even know and don't even like? But my wife, right, she says one thing wrong and I'm going to speak to her so harsh and so ugly. I have control of this thing. I need to get control of this thing. I need to speak to my wife with respect because she deserves it and she's my wife and I love her. How can I be a better husband? That's one of the many things I could do to be a better husband is to treat my wife and speak to her with respect, regardless of if she would irritate me over something she says. Regardless of the way I felt in that moment, I needed to speak to her with respect. So what were some opponents and weaknesses that I had that I could put on paper that I had that would help, that would keep me from treating my wife with respect? What are the things that were getting me to talk to her ugly? Pride, my pride. Selfishness, stress that I may have had that I took home with me, my discipline, being able to choose not to, the discipline being able to choose not to speak to her that way, right? And obviously you can look at these four things and you could do a whole sub fight plan on those four things. So if I'm looking at something like stress and say, wow, stress is contributing to me speaking to my wife without respect. Okay, I need to do another fight plan on my stress and break down why I'm having stress in my life, right? So I could put a note there and do a whole nother fight plan off of it. So then I get that category lined out, and you could have a long list in any of those. And then I go to the third category, strategies and resources. What are some things that I have available to me or can make available to me that'll help me to be able to speak to my wife with respect? I could read some books, I could take some classes, I could prepare in advance to how I'm going to respond to things that bother me. During this time in my life, I remember I would pull in my driveway and I'd stop and pause for a second and say, I don't know if I'm going into a wife that's going to be loving to me and have a candlelight dinner, or I'm going to go into a crazy lady. I don't know what's going to be behind that door and walk in, but whoever it's going to be, I'm choosing right now how I'm going to respond to her. And I make the decision in advance. That way when I was met by the door by a loving and happy wife, then I was able to respond appropriately. If I was met at the door with someone who was stressed out and frustrated because of the things that we had went through, because we had just went through a lot of stuff when I was dealing with this fight plan, then I was going to love her through it anyway. And I was going to tell her I was sorry she was having a bad day and sorry she felt that way and sorry for what I'd done there in the past. I'd already decided in advance. That way I didn't respond hastily, right? I was able to be prepared for that. So that was one thing that I put in here that was a strategy and resource for me was to do that. Prayer. Praying about my snappiness and my hastiness and my harsh words. Praying about that God would heal that in my heart. Addressing outside stress. I needed to address things on the outside of my marriage that I was bringing into my home. That led me to other fight plans. Exercise discipline over my pride, right? When me and my wife would get into things and I knew I was right, right? I've heard it said in marriage before, you could either be right or you could be happy, right? So I knew I was right many times, and many times I had to say, well, this isn't a conflict worth fighting. I said it in a marriage class. Oh, no, not here. In the marriage class, I'll say, right, if you want to ever win in marriage, you have to choose not to compete, right? If you want to win in a marriage, you have to choose not to compete. So I make a decision that I'm not in a competition with my wife, that we're in this oneness and they weren't between us, like separating us. They were actually against us because we were a couple, we were married, we were in this oneness relationship. So my perspective, changing my perspective was a strategy. And scriptures. Scriptures are big for me, and they should be big for all of us if we're going to be the men that God called us to be. Because the Bible is loaded. Any situation, and you can test me on this, right? Any situation that you may face in this world, there is the Word of God to lead you through that situation. And it's there for us as a strategy and a resource. And in this particular one, and this is a short list, just to speaking to my wife with respect, is the list of scriptures that I had that when I was dealing with this, that I'd read and study these scriptures. Luke 6:45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If my heart's full of evil, it's going to speak evil. If my heart's full of good, it's going to speak good. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Whether it's good or bad, you're going to eat its fruit. You're going to deal with the harshness that you're going to bring to your wife. There's going to be consequences. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29. Proverbs 13:3. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Proverbs 17:28. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, but discerning if they hold their tongues. 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to do this, you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Right? The Bible is full of scriptures. These are just a short list for that one little issue of being able to speak to my wife with more respect. And then the last column we have, corner men. One of the most important things we could have. We had brotherhood class the last session before the holidays. Brotherhood, true, authentic brotherhood is so important in this fight that we have in our life, right? This fight to be the men that God called us to be. And again, it is a fight, right? I was picking a shirt out for tonight, and I'm like, hey, I hadn't worn this in a while. Every day I fight. Every day my feet hit the floor, I'm in a spiritual battle by an enemy that wants to take me out, wants to take my family out. One, probably because we're in ministry. And two, because I'm a child of God. Doesn't matter what you do for a job, if you're in ministry or if you're laying ceramic tile for a living, whatever you do, right, you're a child of God, and the enemy has you in his sights to take you out. You're in a battle, you're in a fight, you're in warfare, whether they choose to or not. You could not even acknowledge it, but you're still in a fight. And I don't want to go in a fight at a disadvantage. One of the biggest advantages that God has given me is the ability to have other like-minded brothers to do this fight with. And if I try to do this fight plan with the first three columns and leave out that fourth column of the corner men, I'm probably going to fail. When I would do these MMA fights, everyone wants to be in your corner, especially when you start fighting on television. Everyone wants to be in your corner because they want to like wave to their mom on TV and stuff like that. And, you know, everyone wants to be in your corner. But every time I do these fights, I wouldn't pick the same guys. I wouldn't pick like the same guys that I was like most cool with. Who I picked was the guy who was best for that fight plan. When I do these fight plans, I don't pick the same guys each time. I think about that fight plan and who's the most appropriate person that God's put in my life to deal with that. Because when I would do MMA fights, the opponent was always different. His strengths were always different. My strategy was always different. So I had the right guys. I had the right wrestling coach. I had the right striking coach. I had the right guy that really understood and studied my opponent. I had all the right guys in my corner to help me win that fight, to give me the biggest advantage that I could have. When I put together these fight plans for myself, I want the guys that are in my corner that care about me the most, that could actually speak into this situation. I'm not gonna have like some single dude in my fight plan for this issue, because he's not gonna be able to give me the wisest advice. I'm gonna have the right people. I have on here Jeremy. Why do I have Jeremy? Because Jeremy knows my wife and I's relationship probably the most intimately, and he cares about not just me. He cares about my wife, and his wife can talk to my wife. Like, and so that's a really good person for me to have. I have Steve on there because at the time I was still being mentored by Steve, and Steve really truly cared about my marriage, and he would understand and knows how I could be, how harsh I could be, and I knew he would tell me the hard things I needed to hear. I could call him and say, well, she's doing this and she's doing this, and that's why I reacted that way. And he'd say, yeah, well, does she have a right to react that way? Is she being jealous? Does she have a right to be jealous, right, because of your past? Is she being bitter and angry? Is she hurt? Does she have a right to be hurt? Does she have a right to be bitter and angry? He'd tell me all the things that were directed towards me, not towards her. He wasn't gonna kind of cheerlead for me for being upset. He was the guy I needed there. And then I got John Fulberg on here because he's just the guy that can always point me to the right scripture at the right time. It's like God just uses him to put me in the right place in the Word of God all the time. So that's one example of a fight plan. And so, like I said, if you go big with these fight plans, like a life plan, it could be so overwhelming that it's unmanageable. But if you could take this and do like four or five of these at a time, and when all of a sudden one day, maybe even 2-3 weeks from now, I'm like speaking to my wife with respect without even thought. I've tackled this. I tucked that one away for now, and I start a new one. I'm always keeping like four or five going. I've talked to guys that came through our program, and it was really cool one time. This one guy came through Mighty Oaks, and I seen him like a year later. And he had a notebook of fight plans. He had like almost 80 of them, and it was just all these fight plans that he had done. And he's like, once he tackled them, he dog-eared the page over, and he said a couple of them he had to go back to. But he had this plan that he was actually executing his life. And the crazy thing about this is the people around you in your life, when they see you do these little things like this, they'll notice. They'll take notice because these are real actionable and tangible things that you could do, and you'll be successful with them. Right now I want to bring John up. Noel, is this one good? Which one? It's good? So if you guys don't know John Davis, that's who's going to be doing the men's breakfast. He's going to be sharing his personal testimony. Was a U.S. Army combat veteran and also retired Whittier area police officer. Yep. And he works for Mighty Oaks, does our applications, all the guys that apply to come to Mighty Oaks. But in addition to working at Mighty Oaks on the administrative side, he does a lot of team leading. And so what we do when guys come up to our program is they get in a small group, just like you guys are. In this program, they get in a small group, about six guys. Maybe four students will be brand new. One guy will be there in a leadership training, getting discipled to help the next guys. And then guys like John will be team leaders and actually mentor them through the group. And so one of the biggest roles of a team leader at Mighty Oaks is to help these guys walk away with not only having four or five fight plans, but understanding how to do them on their own. And so John's helped guys develop these for a job right now. And so I wanted him to speak into some of the things that he's seen in doing that.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for being here. I'll start off, before I get into the fight plans, a little bit of my background. I've been coaching for a number of years. When I was a police officer, I was coaching my kids when they were young. After I retired in 2004, I went into high school coaching. I coached all different sports, from football and track. But my main thing has been as a strength coach. I've coached high-level athletes from professionals all the way down to 6 years old. I coach out in Orange County a couple high-profile schools out there. If you guys are familiar with the Trinity League, I coached in three of the schools in that league. But as a coach, the first thing I always do when I talk to an athlete and he comes to me is I ask them their goal. Like, where do you want to end up? What is your goal? And a lot of times with these guys, I would get from them something like, you know, hey, I want to get a little bit better. I want to get a little bit stronger. And I'll kind of look at them like, okay, is there anything else? And they might say, yeah, I want to start at this position. But what I'm looking for when I'm talking to these guys is really, how important is that goal to you? Is it so important to you as far as what are you going to do for it? What are you willing to work for? And how hard are you willing to work to accomplish that goal? And a lot of times, to tell you the truth, is when they would have an answer like that, and they would have an answer like, yeah, I just want to get a little bit better, I wouldn't waste a lot of time with them. I get that athlete, though, is like, man, I'm going to do whatever it takes, and I saw how important it was to him. I'd be like, okay, now I'm going to start developing a plan. I have a 15-year-old who plays football at Murrieta Valley High School, and I got a 13-year-old. My 15-year-old is a great athlete. He runs track. He plays football. He has all the potential in the world. But to him, it's not super important to him. I mean, he likes it, and he does well, which is great. I don't give him a plan. I don't tell him what to eat. I don't tell him how to train. If he wants to train, I train him. My 13-year-old, this kid's crazy. He wants to be all world. I sit down with him. It's like, how important is this to you? Is this really what you want? And he said, yeah, it is. So based on what he told me, I went about it. Actually, just today before I came here, I was working on his nutritional plan, his sleep plan, his supplement plan, his training plan, his plan for football, all that stuff, because it was that important to him. Back when I was a young cop, if you would have asked me what's important to me, I would have told you God. God's first. Second, my wife. Third, then my kids. And then the rest of my family, and then work. But if you looked at my life over the years, and I guess at the breakfast I'll share all this with you guys, if you looked at actually what I did, it didn't reflect what I thought was important, what I really felt, because I really felt, hey, God was number one. But my life, there was no plan in place. Chad talks about a battle. His shirt says, I fight every day. Well, I was in a fight every day, but I didn't live my life that way. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a fight plan. And if I would have had a fight plan back then, 25 years ago, life would have been much different. A life that nearly cost me my life and that life of people I loved was lost because what I thought was important, what I knew was important, wasn't reflected in my life and how I lived it and how I planned it. So when Chad asked me, hey, come up and talk to these guys and share something about fight plans. It's a great strategy. It's a great technique. It's a great tool. But it doesn't mean anything if you guys don't really ask yourself, how important is it to you? How important it is to you to be that man that God intended you to be? How important is your wife? How important it is to your kids? Because we are in this fight, and if you don't look at it like that, that someone's out there, that there's an enemy out there who wants to take that from you, then you guys could lose it. And I speak that from experience. So when I look at this fight plan, when I teach this fight plan up at the programs, I teach it that way. This is not an exercise. It's not just something to do in this class, and I'm hearing Chad speak, and this is a cool thing. This is something that could change your life and possibly save your life. Now, as far as I can keep on going, but I'm not going to. Sorry. As far as the practical things, Chad touched on one thing. One of the big mistakes that guys make is again, they try to solve everything. You know, I want to be a better man, and Chad wrote that up there. That's a big mistake guys make all the time. And as you start doing these things, you'll have that in your mind, and like I'm trying to narrow it down. But you're going to keep on doing these things. And you're going to do these fight plans, and you're going to do them, and you're going to redo them, and you're going to redo them, and just keep on doing them. It's something that's never going to stop. Us as men, we plan stuff out. I plan stuff out. Man, I plan everything out. My day from 4:30 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night is planned out. But I had to look at the last year and a half working with Mighty Oaks and hearing this class all the time and teaching this class all the time. Is like, man, is my life really reflecting what I think is important? And as I looked at it, well, I got a small little section here for my quiet time with God, and I pray a little bit. But then, you know, 90% of my time, my waking day is spent on myself, my work, all these other things. So I had to really reevaluate that. And it's a process that I go through all the time. All the time I go through it to you. So I guess I'll just encourage you guys to, number one, look at and think and ask yourself and really look in that mirror. It's like, how important is this to me? How important is it to be that man? You guys are here, which is awesome. We're expecting like 30, 40 guys. We got a good turnout here. So obviously it's important to you guys. But this plan right here, the fight plans itself within the fight plan or the fight club is vital. It is the tool. All these things and all these classes you guys are going to hear about. And as you hear them and Chad speaks and you go into your small groups, and I get that. Every time you do that, every time you say that, and I can understand that and I can relate with that, that's a fight plan. Besides that, I guess the other thing, I was thinking about my groups and the guys that are successful with their fight plans, man, they're all over it. And they attack these things, and they tackle these things, and they're coming up to me. And the guys in my teams that are kind of like, what's this? And it's kind of, you know, halfway done and not done great. Chances are they're not going to succeed in these plans. So I guess just to close and finish my little spiel here is really take these things seriously. From someone who didn't have a fight plan years ago and the collateral damage that was caused by not planning my life out and not really understanding what was important, man, you guys do it. You guys are in a great opportunity. And this, the reason I'm a part of Mighty Oaks is because I saw these things and I would have realized, man, if I would have had this a long time ago, man, things would have been different. If I would have used my coaching and my planning and my strategizing to what was important, man, life would have been different. So that's it. That's all I got. Chad, you got anything? Thanks, guys.
Okay, I'm on now? Yep. Okay, one thing I want to add is just because of the way the example I gave was like a problem, right? You know, the problem being wasn't speaking my wife with respect. So we don't only use the fight plans for problems. We could also use them to achieve goals. So John gave example, like, I want to be more diligent with prayer time. That could be a goal. I want to be, you know, I want to be lose 20 pounds. I want to, you know, be more, you know, want to achieve this goal academically or professionally. You could use these plans for the same, for improvement as well. But, you know, you could use them for all different types of things. So don't feel like as you develop them, you're limited to just fixing yourself. Because you need to be able to use them for, you know, advancing yourself as well. So what I want to do with the rest of the night, I want to use this time. So the next Tuesday when you get together with your teams, and there's not everybody's here tonight, you're going to be having to pass this on to the guys who missed tonight. I want you guys to spend next Tuesday probably coming up with at least two or three plans in that group. Maybe you only have time to do one. But try to come up with a couple of them by the end of next Tuesday. You could do some in between now and then, but by the end of that next Tuesday, you know, try to have two or three. Tonight, before we get out of here, we don't have a ton of time left. I want to spend at least 20 minutes. Let's say, so it's 7:58 now. Let's shut it down at 8:20, and we'll just break into our groups. If you don't have a group, come up to me or John. And let us know, and we'll help put you in one. But break into your groups and just go through developing a fight plan. You don't have to spend a lot of time in it because we only have 20 minutes. But we just want to be here to answer any questions you might have in starting one. That way, you could call on John and I to help you out. And then besides that, we'll break at 8:20 and cut loose, and then work on the fight plans on your own. And next Tuesday, you can really dial them in with your team, with your teams. Small groups, you guys are calling them? I'm calling them teams. Teams or small groups? Okay. Whichever, both. Yes, sir.
Two or three fight plans by the end of next Tuesday's small group meeting?
Yeah.
Per individual within each group or collectively?
Per individual fight plans. And so you should be able to call on each other and talk through them. I think there's going to be a lot of guys at the, maybe your groups next week that wasn't here tonight, so you're probably going to need to help each other out. But tonight, I just want you guys to start on it. That way, if you have questions, John and I are going to float around and just raise your hand. We'll come over. I have paper and pens here, but to get this going, let's just break, get in your teams, and knock a fight plan out as best as you can. Call us if you have any questions. Thanks, guys.